And we're back. It is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. And, well, I think we, in the remaining time, we want to take up a few matters. It's obviously, I would think, it's on everyone's mind. I could start with kind of the humorous side to me. The Globe and Mail ran an article, an op-ed piece. You know, it's a multi-million dollar, maybe it's $1 billion, I don't know, Operation Globe. They have op-eds. And so this individual, he had all the credentials. I think he belongs to the Atlantic Institute, and everybody's to turn to him for wisdom. So he said, well, in preparation for Friday's upcoming meeting, and of course, check your phone once in a while because, you know, one thing could change quickly. Maybe there won't be a meeting, but as of now, there is a meeting coming up for Friday. This individual argued, he said, well, you know, Trump has to be reminded before he gets in there with Putin that Putin is a liar. And he said, it's like the time when Nixon was going to meet a Russian leader, that he was reminded that the Russians cannot be trusted. And Canadians reading that should fall out of their chairs. Trump should be told that the Russians are liars. Canadians regard Trump as a liar. We had all kinds of assurances from the United States about trade and good relations and we're buddies, et cetera. And then the table was turned over and we said, well, what happened? And they said, pick up what's on the floor and get out. And so this Globe writer says, oh, Trump got to look out for Putin because Putin doesn't tell the truth. I mean, this invites cartoons, and yet used up a lot of expensive space on nonsense. This meeting is very important, and it's an interesting thing in terms of what people's conception of the crisis is. They're dealing, allegedly, with the matter of Ukraine. It's not going to be just Ukraine, by the way, for sure. But on the table will be the issue of, okay, how do you bring about a stable ceasefire political resolution? And it turns out that Trump can't wave a magic spoon and get this thing done because the Russians have been rather stubborn. What are your political choices? If you follow the United States political system and the Democrats and Republicans, there is a phenomenon that we used to call good cop, bad cop. But actually, in this instance, the approach to Ukraine is bad cop, worse cop. The Democrats, they're called liberals sometimes, they don't want the meeting because they say Putin is a criminal and you can't be talking to him. I saw a serious article in one of the major U.S. publications online and print, I guess, saying he's wanted for crimes and you're going to bring him onto American soil? And we can't deal with this. So they're taking a harder line, the more punitive line than is Trump. And on the matter of criminality, Trump only a month ago bombed Iran, a sovereign country with whom was no declaration of war. He bombed the country. Of course, he bombed a bunch of people. You can't be an American president without bombing because who knows if you're a real man if you haven't bombed somebody. So that has happened. And the political option is the one party and the worst party when it comes to this kind of matter. To go to the substance, something really dramatic happened last Friday, and that is that Armenia, the president of Armenia, I'm going to call them both president of Armenia, president of Azerbaijan, both neighbors bordering Iran, the Islamic Republic, they signed in the White House. They showed up at the White House. Nobody told me. I mean, I didn't see anywhere in the media this was going to happen. Suddenly, there's Trump sitting between these two presidents holding up their little documents. And they have agreed to establish a corridor. It has a regional name. I don't know it offhand. But the name of the corridor between Azerbaijan and a territory, an autonomous region of Azerbaijan, there's that corridor, that area is the sovereign territory of Armenia. So in order for the Azerbaijan autonomous region and the state of Azerbaijan, home state, whatever you would call it, has a 20-mile corridor. That corridor runs on the northern border of Iran. And Iran says, we don't want this. We want the border with Armenia, and we don't want a U.S. now. According to this agreement, it is a 99-year lease for 20 miles on the northern border of Iran, linking Azerbaijan with this autonomous region. And it will be operated by, the guarantor will be the United States. And guess what? It's called the Trump Corridor. So this, to me, it appears that Trump decided to throw another card on the table for before he meets Russia. He's stolen the march in a sense. He has created a major headache in which these two leaders have decided to go along and to call it the Trump Corridor. And in that 99-year release, the Americans will be given, only American companies will be given permit to develop whatever they're going to develop on that 20-mile stretch. So I think there's a challenge here to Russia to say, we're going to do this. Oh, by the way, we're going to meet and talk about Ukraine. But it's very striking. It's very, it is pure trouble because the only state to say this is not a good idea, or one that, well, actually, let's put it another way. They say they will resist this, is Iran. So it has been spoken of as a overall plan of the United States is to encircle, which is what they always do, encircle and then probe and then balkanize anybody that they want to beat up. When they had Saddam on his back, they took away southern Iraq and they called it a Shia zone in order to see if they could incite, and they did incite inter-Iraqi terror and violence between religious communities, Shia Sunni, in southern Iraq. The United States declared airspace where they would take charge. They took charge of the airspace of southern Iraq. Then they recognized the autonomous region of the Kurds in the north. And they said, we also have, of course, that's airspace that we will control. So they began to cut Iraq to pieces. It took, by the way, about 10 years before they finally delivered the way the bullfighter does, the coup de grace. All the while, the villain in the piece was, of course, Saddam Hussein, who they said had developing a nuclear weapon. It turned out they were lying. They're now doing the same with the Islamic Republic. But there's a couple of details. I'm not going to attempt to analyze them, but just tell you, the listeners, the Taylor Report, that the Russians currently have troops in that 20-mile zone because it's Armenian territory, and they have an agreement with Armenia. The Russians do. And with Armenia, which, as they point out, has not been repudiated, to provide security. So Russia actually has forces there. And Iran has been somewhat quiet about it because so long as the Russians are there and it's defined as Armenian territory, it's a livable situation. But this is a dramatic development with Azerbaijan and Armenia showing up, as always. You know, you have to go to the White House. Everything we've pointed out, and this is the problem. Everything must go. All agreements, Congo, Cambodia, whatever, Myanmar, they're all supposed to go through Washington, and which means that they're controlling the agenda, controlling the definition of the issues. And there's really, for all these people who think they're anti-Trump, they're actually quite enthusiastic in the United States. There's no argument about this. The American public and the political leadership are comfortable with this because they're number one and because they are the trendsetter. They still dictate, and they go about their business. You know, When the rough stuff began with Canada, you know, the frank conversations about annexing, this and that, destroying industries, there's no hue and cry between the bad cop and the worst cop. I know the occasional governor answers Ford's call or shows up and smiles at him. They're not doing anything. The U.S. government is agreed between the Democrats and the Republicans. They're the boss. And so if Trump devours the country and is picking his teeth, the Democrats don't have a problem with that. They'd rather talk about Mr. Epstein. And all the Epstein story tells you is, yes, they're corrupt, top to bottom, one side to the other. I just mean in who they are. I'm not interested in the criminal part of it. To me, it's a bit of a hustle. But what is actually going on is that somebody like that exists and runs an operation where he can bring prime ministers and presidents, and they all show up for dinner. Even Noam Chomsky went to dinner. And it's such a, you know, it's basically a sleazy group of people. Actually, if you have billions of dollars and if the money buys elections, you're going to have this kind of tragic comedy taking place. But to go back to the real world, they're not giving each other a hard time about playing hardball with China and Russia. And Canada is part of it. We probably should end on that point, that the big question really ought to be why we're part of NATO, and will we ever be a sovereign state making its own decisions among other states of the world and going by the United Nations Charter. NATO is a kind of a virus trying to destroy the UN. Since its inception, there never should have been a NATO because they gave themselves the power to threaten other states and to combine into a military and political economic entity. And we don't have a political party in Canada. Those in Parliament, the Bloc, the NDP, certainly not the Liberals, the Conservatives, they're all basically NATO people. So when you talk to them, it's kind of like the zombie phenomena. They're already in NATO, and if you say NATO is wrong, NATO is enabling, for example, Israel in its current marauding behavior in Gaza. They say yes, and we think maybe we should do this, and maybe we but it's all maybe, and it's all putting it off, and it's kicking the can down the road, because the main thing is that the gang stays together, and we're going to buy the M-35 or whatever it is, the super plane the Americans built. And some people say, well, the man talking about a Nexus, and we're going to buy a plane from him. Oh, yeah, we're going to buy the plane. Well, why? Well, because it's good for our defense. You say it's their plane, and they're the ones who we can't get a plane of our anywhere else. Well, of course not. So what they're telling you is you're in the land of no choice. You're going to go along with the famous Texas politician says, you either, if you want to get along, you better go along. And policy is based on, they say, well, shouldn't we do so-and-so with aluminum? They say, well, we should, but you don't want to make Trump mad. So if that's the answer, you don't want to make him mad, then you may as well throw your chips on the table and get out of the room, because the House is about to win. You're out of luck. Seems to me the clearest thing you could say. Anybody wants to run for public office, we should say, tell me what your position is on NATO, because we are a member of the NATO tribe, and we can be kicked in the tail, and we can be drugged by the collar, because we're part of the gang. And by the way, you don't quit the gang. That is one thing, a choice, that it is not available. And I think we've just about come to that point, according to Pedro. And Steve Fruitman of 33, 45, 78 is coming up.